welcome. You are listening to At Home with Ifemi. Here, we'll talk about helping women know and understand their worth, find fulfillment in who they are, and in what they do. Every other week, we'll talk about your identity as a woman, discovering your unique purpose, intentionally raising the next generation, and your influence in homemaking. I am your host, Ifeoma Nneka Omoni.
Hello, and welcome to another inspiring time on At Home with Ifeno. I am filled with joy today. No, today is exceptional for me, Ifeno, because I have my constituency with me. I have some amazing homemakers. But before I continue, let me tell you something my sister, my daughter brought up. So she said, so mommy, if homemakers now, you know, those that have been at home, their children are all grown up, and those women decide, you know, to maybe go and work or do something, are they still homemakers? And I say yes. Interestingly, every one of us that has a family are homemakers. Every one of us. It's just that we are at different seasons of our lives, or we have different callings or assignments. So some people have decided that they want to intentionally stay back at home. Some people are doing their business from home. So every woman that has a family, that has children, a husband, whoever is under your roof, you are nursing or taking care of them, you are the homemaker of that home. So I just want you to know that we are all homemakers, anyhow you want to put it. But today I have three wonderful women. They've been on our show before. They are known as the wise homemakers. They are very intentional. Wow. And interestingly, they are here to encourage me. You know, I told you that they are from my constituency. So me, I'm still doing my own work at home. And maybe like my daughter has inspired me or nudged me unconsciously. One day, maybe I'll be out of the house. But interestingly, we will all still come back home. I've found out that I've seen some women that were even in career and their children are all grown and they are back home. So whether we like it or not, we cannot run away from home. Home is where it all begins. So today, these amazing wise homemakers, they are known as the wise homemakers. Yes, I have with me Doyin, Zainab, and Buki. Like I said, they've been here before. They were here last year, and they are here again this year to give us wisdom tips. They are known as wise. Yes, they are filled with wisdom, and that wisdom flows from the throne of God, interestingly. So I would like them, in a way of introducing themselves, they are a group governed by four core values, and they will share with us how these four core values have helped them in being intentional at home. So I'll start with Doyin, wise Doyin. How would you share with our audience how the value of efficiency has helped you at home? So you briefly introduce yourself and tell us how the value of efficiency is helping you back at home. Thank you.
Okay, good morning, our listeners. My name is Oladun Shoumi. I'm a baker, and I also do fashion. Okay, I'm a part of the Wise Homemaker, and one of our core values is efficiency. And so efficiency, it's doing things well, you know. So one of the things I have learned in the Wise Homemakers, we read, one of the things we do all the time is read our devotionals together. Like we have a text in the Bible that we read a book of the Bible every day, a text in the Bible every day, and we come to the platform and share what we've read. Somebody asked me, my husband said something to me, that this your group is very different. It's beyond coming, reading your Bible every day. You have to come back and tell us what you have read. So it doesn't matter if you have read it until you have put it down. You understand? We do not accept that you have read that Bible. So that for me is being efficient. I'm staying in a group like this. I've not been in a group like this before. You know, I am like, if there's a control, there's a guide, there's something that it's just within us that we just have to. And so it's always on my mind that I've not, there's an assignment, there's an obligation that I am supposed to fulfill. Even when I have done it, I've sometimes, some of the read, I just read because I use my mobile app, and so it's audio Bible and just keep. But I know that I have to come back because I'm accountable to a group. And sometimes for 1 or 2 days, I am not able. The third day, I will come back and write what I've read in the last 2 days. So in the wise homemaker, one of our core values is efficiency. And it starts from how we start out. We have a group, we have a plan. And one of the things that I see that we have been able to do over the years is being efficient with what we set out to do. And so I've learned to be committed to this group in that way, because we come in every day having read the devotional that we are supposed to read, or a Bible book in the Bible. We come back every day to come and give a report of what we are, we come and share what we have learned in that group with every person in the group. And so that way it helps me to get started in a way. My focus is like, I'm so committed to this group. It's something that I've not done I'm not sure I've done this before. So that way it helps me to keep to a task, as in I have to do this. Even if it's before midnight, I just know that I have to do this. And if I cannot do it that same day, I come back the following day or maybe in 2 days' time to come and finish up that thing. And so there's a way it's helped my brain to wire. Like when I look at the coordinator of the group, Taifi, I know that there's something about her. She's very organized. And so there was a time she told me that, you know, if you don't spend your write-up or your readings or what you have learned from what you read today and you spend it tomorrow, you'll be taking us back. You understand? You'll be taking us back. Like, you're supposed to read chapter 1 today. You didn't read today. We are in chapter 3. You're sending chapter 1. So because she also reads it, she has to go back 2 days to read what I have read. What I wrote in 2 days. And for that, it's drawing them back. So I have to sit on, you understand, to adjust my time. Although sometimes I'm still not perfect, like I still am not able to do it every day, but I try. And so that's where it has helped my brain to be organized and re-engineer some things. You know, sometimes again, I made a suggestion, can we just make this thing a voice message, as in whatever you read, just come and send it. And so she told me that there's discipline in writing and she wants us to learn that. I cannot forget that statement. So each time I remember that she told me that there's discipline in writing. And so that's where I have been able to learn discipline, you know, and to do some things more efficiently. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you, Wise Dory, for giving us updates on what efficiency is and how it has helped her as a group, you know, to be committed, doing what she can without wasting time, effort, or energy. So I'll go to Wise Zainab. Zainab, can you just introduce yourself and tell us how the core value of simplicity, in our world that is overloaded with so many things, how has the value of simplicity helped you back at home as a homemaker?
Okay. Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Zainab. I am also a baker. And with simplicity, one of the values in our group is simplicity, and for me that resonates very well, because I do not believe in overcomplicating issues. When God is speaking to us and when God tells us the things we need to do, God is straightforward. He doesn't beat about the bush. Things are not complicated at all. So with simplicity, when I'm reading the Bible scriptures for the day and all that, excuse me, I have a sort issue. When I'm reading my scripture for the day, I use the version of the Bible that I am very I'm comfortable with. I am not really, when it comes to reading the complicated King James and all that, I find that there are other versions that simplify the Bible for us. So when I'm reading other versions that make it straightforward, it's simple. Even the group in itself, the value of the group, one of the simplicity value, you don't beat about the bush. You read the Bible, you follow the Bible. Even when we have our hangouts and we just try and catch up with each other, it isn't complicated at all. So the core value of simplicity in our group resonates with me because, first of all, I'm a person who doesn't overcomplicate issues, and the group isn't a complicated group as well. So we bless God for that.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. So Zainab is telling those at home, those listening to us, whether you are in the office or at home, please embrace the value of simplicity. The world is already complicated. Please come out of that mold and simplify your life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we come to Wise Bookie. How can you explain or share with us the value of worth? You know, many women in particular struggle with self-confidence, self-esteem, particularly those of us back at home. So many, many women feel that when you are back at home, they are not really adding value. What are you really doing? Maybe their spouses have not even encouraged them, not necessarily with their words, but even their attitudes is like, what have you been doing at home? And that affects the way women and many of us see ourselves, which comes to our worth. How can you tell our listeners today how the value of knowing your true worth has helped you in your journey so far?
Good morning, listeners. Good morning, my fellow white sisters. My name is Bukola Olainka. I am a singer, songwriter, worship leader, and many other things. Okay, so what for me is a very important aspect of our lives. You must first of all be able to see worth in yourself before you can give it out to anybody. So you must see yourself first the way God sees you. I know that a lot of women may struggle with this, especially when you have been told over time that you are not good enough or what you are doing is not good enough. But I think that when you see yourself from the way God sees you, you then understand the value He puts on your life. You know, someone said that even if you are the only one that was on earth, Jesus would still have died. And it costed Him everything. That's His death and sacrifice for our lives was everything to Him, to show you the value He placed on your life. So if you see yourself through the eyes of Christ, you understand that you are loved, you are worth everything that God has sacrificed Himself for. And if you see the way Jesus relates with women in the Bible, you see that He placed them in a high, you know, level. He didn't look down on women. He didn't say, you will go home and stay in place. You know, Jesus encouraged women to speak up. He encouraged them to fulfill their ministry. So wherever it is that you are, in whatever point in your life, you must understand that for you to be made, for you to be alive, for you to be where you are now, God sees value in you. He sees you as His beloved. He sees you as the apple of His eyes. It doesn't matter what people have told you constantly. It doesn't matter what you even believe in yourself. But you must first see yourself through the eyes of the Father. The Father that has given all to, you know, not just create you and put you upon this earth, but also put in you everything that He desires for you to succeed. So we must, you know, look at ourselves constantly in the eyes of the Father, even when we think that we are not good enough, even if we feel we're not where we should be. We should look at ourselves through the eyes of the Father, and then we will understand that we are worth His love, we are worth His sacrifice. And if we are worth that, then we are worth everything. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If we are worth His sacrifice, then we are worth anything. So it's not about what people have said. It's not about what people have called you. Your worth should flow from the way God sees you. Thank you, Wise Bookie, for gingering us and waking us up today to remind us. And so before we delve into today's topic, I just want to say welcome to our guests once again. And I want to greet every listener from all over the world. I say good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and please give us your listening ears, get your water, tea, coffee, get that sweet spot, and enjoy today's conversation. It promises to be filled with wisdom. So our topic for today is handling the challenges of being a wife and a mother. Handling the challenges of being a wife and a mother. Now, before we are mothers, we are wives, and we cannot run away from the reality that challenges are part of our lives. Whether you are married, whether you are not married, whether you are divorced, single, whatever the present state of what you are going on or going through is, we all face challenges. So today, we want to encourage anyone that is a wife or a mother, or anyone that is desiring to be a wife very soon. You know, we are not trying to scare you, no. We just want you to know that challenges are part of life. And through our experience, through what God has helped us go through, and we are still going through, we want you to know that you are not alone. You have people that are here to help you, to encourage you, and to make your journey an interesting one. So I will start with Zainab. Could you share with our listeners what are some of the challenges of communication you have gone through as a wife? We know that it's not very easy, you know, the husband and wife relationship. So could you share with us some challenges in communicating with your spouse and one or two tips that you could share that will help handle such communication challenges? Thank you.
Okay, so this is a really tough one, to be very honest, because sometimes we struggle with communication issues. So one of the challenges that I had in communicating with my husband is, because our personalities are different, in as much as we are a couple, there are certain things that I wanted, that I expected, and I didn't get, especially when it came to certain things I wanted to do. For example, when I wanted to start baking, and I said, oh, I want to bake, and I feel like this is something I can do, you know, we struggled a lot, because from his end, he was like, you studied law, you have a degree, you've worked before as a lawyer, I just need to drop that, blah, blah, blah. And I was very calm, too, in responding. I'm saying to him, I feel like this is what God wants me to do, because I had prayed about it. And bear in mind, when we're having this conversation, I had never baked anything in my life. So it was quite difficult for him to understand why I wanted to do it, why that had to happen, and all that. But one thing that I realized in everything that we were doing, and everything in the coming, and while I was trying to get this thing done, was I was patient. One thing where we have communication issues is one partner has to be patient, or more patient than the other. The communication will not flow if there's a loud voice on one end, a loud voice on another end, and nobody's trying to reach a conclusion together, right? So another thing that we need to, that I found in my experience, is I need to put the armor of, but I know I am right, so I'm going to defend my rightness in this issue, no matter what happens. You understand? As hard as it is very, very hard, especially when you truly are correct. But when we get to those moments, and I see, you know, the male domineering character, but no, I know. And me, I'm saying no, I know, nothing gets done, right? Nothing gets sorted. So I also had to learn and pray to God, you know what, give me patience, and also help me put down my pride. Let all this whole I am right thing, help me tone it down a bit, so that I'm able to communicate better. And another thing that I learned was, when he's yelling, I'm able to talk in a very calm tone. I will not yell back. I'm still talking. And if he gets too much, the one thing that I say is, maybe now is not a good time to have this conversation. Let's talk about this another time. So it depends on the character of your spouse. You would know if all these things matter, if they would work, if they wouldn't work, right? But I feel like when it comes to communication or conflict in communication, somehow as wives, as mothers, we would know the extent to which our partners can get to, and how we are able to handle the situation, at least even a little bit, right? We just, so most of it is toning down our own pride, toning down our own, I did it well, it was me, it was me, it was me, which again is very, very hard, but it isn't impossible. Yeah.
Wow. So I got some points from Zainab. So Zainab is telling us, in dealing with challenges of communicating with our spouse, because now we're dealing with challenges of being a wife. So she said some particular things have helped her and are still helping her. And I concur with a lot of things she said. So because, you know, as our spouses are the head of the home, so we need to be patient with them. Many times, women, we are not patient. Ifeno is one of them. So you want something now, 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 now. So Zainab is like telling us we need to be patient with our spouse. And I remember a verse in the Bible that says, a gentle answer, you know, a gentle response turneth away wrath. So two of us cannot be shouting, you know, at the top of our voices if we are trying to communicate something. Fine, your spouse might not agree with your idea or your suggestion. So first of all, you need to be patient. You need to answer in a gentle way or give your suggestion in a gentle way. Don't give up on that conviction. I like that part. So your spouse might not be consenting to what you are saying, but that doesn't mean you should give up. That doesn't mean that you are wrong. It just means maybe this is not the right time, or you need to pray more, or you just need to be patient. So please, 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 our listeners, if there's anyone presently going through challenging, very serious, challenging times concerning communication, and I want to say that it doesn't end. No matter how long you have been married, we usually have communication challenges. But over time, when you have learned some things, so you now know that, okay, this is not the right time to bring up such conversations. And then it helps to douse down the tension. Thank you, Wise Zainab, for your experience and sharing your tips. Very, very practical. So, Wise Doing, I want you to help our listeners understand, in the times we live in now, you know, cost of living, not just where we reside, but globally, is rising each day. Cost of living, cost of food, energy, you know, power, everything is just jumping. In fact, sometimes you wonder, you are wondering if you can really budget or follow a plan, because after you have just come back from the market, the next minute you are hearing prices have gone up and you are wondering, how are we going to cope with this budget that we have set? Could you share with our listeners how you have been able to navigate the challenge of money matters, decisions that have to do with managing the home, even with very minimal resources at hand? So, Doreen, please help us with that.
Thank you. Okay. So, for me personally, I work with a budget every month. Thank God for a provision for my husband. So, when I get the upkeep from my husband, there's a certain amount that goes for different things, you know. So, one of the things I discovered, because I work from home, and so it's easy for me to go to the market at will. Initially, I used to go to the market like once in a week or twice in a week. But recently, when my business started to take better shape, I discovered that I don't have that luxury of time anymore. And I decided to buy things in bulk. Not actually what I like to do, but because of the necessity, you know, whatever it is you are doing, they say necessity is the mother of invention. If you are a stay-at-home mom like me, that a woman that works from house, you have the luxury of time. But if you are the type that works, you know, that go to work 9 to 5, you know, you don't have that. And so I think it's better that you buy your things in bulk and be able to take it out and save some cost. So recently, when with the new price of things, one of the things I do is I get my children involved. Of course, they listen to news, and so they know happenings around. And so they ask, or when they hear prices, I'm like, they are shocked. So mommy, this is now costing this. Yes, it's costing this. So what do we do? And so when I cannot give them, like before, every Sunday, there's chicken in the house. There's just chicken in the house every Sunday. So when I cannot give chicken every Sunday, not because I really want to cut cost or something,
And I just said to them, you know, prices of things have increased, so we just have to manage, you just have to adjust, you know. And so look at other things that we can also eat. So I talk it again, one, the things that concern the children mostly is their feeding. Every other thing you're talking about, they really do not get it. You understand? Like their school fees by those days is a given. But food is that thing that they always, that, you know, they come to you from, and that's where you can explain it to them. So again, I took it from the aspect of nutrition. And so I told them healthy food, things that we can eat that are healthy. Do you understand? And so my son comes to me, okay, mommy, can we eat more vegetable? Mommy, can I do intermittent fasting? Mommy, can I do? So as much as, not that I'm trying to minimize, not because I'm trying to minimize, but I also brought from another perspective of health, of what is healthy for them to eat. And so now they don't want snacks to school. They don't want sugary things. They want fruit. And so I tell them again, okay, I cannot, when I juice those fruits for you, by the time you are taking it, it's not as fresh. Why don't we take it when you return from school? You know, things like that. So there are alternatives that you can take, like for I'm talking about the children, because those are the people that come to you every time, and very soon it'll soon be holiday time. And so the next thing you say here is, mommy, I'm hungry. Mommy, what can I take? Mommy, what can I eat? So I brought it to them from the aspect of nutrition, like balanced diet, eating the right things. So now we are able to reduce junk. We are able to reduce junk, and of course that saved me money. And again, because I also do my business, I don't solely depend on what my husband gives me, because it can never be enough if we really want to have what we want. So sometimes, and again, my husband does not like it when I come with small deals, like little, he wants it once you can just give me a clear line of sight. I mean, line of sight to what I'm going to, what I'm supposed to give you, or what I'm supposed to add. So not coming in every day, the price of tomato is up today, it comes tomorrow, the price of onion is up today, so I need, no, it doesn't like that. So like they have advice, look at what works for your home. You understand? That does not work for me. You will not like it when I come every day and tell him that the prices of this and this have increased in the market. So what I do in those cases is that I look for ways to shock it with my own resources. Then later, and at an appropriate time, I present it. And the one he is able to augment, he will add to it. The other ones, I'll find a better time to present it. But my sister, my money will not go out. I will collect my money. But I will collect my money in wisdom and at the right time. So that's what I do. Thank you.
What better way can our doing that has told us about efficiency? You know, she talked about doing so much with the little you have, not wasting. She talked about bulk buying. She gave us wisdom on how to manage situation of today the bill has gone up, tomorrow, you know. So she's just trying to tell us that we need to face the reality. And I like the part of getting the children involved. So when the children know what is really going on, we are not trying to scare them, but we are trying to make them know that this is it. So if some things are not on the table as it used to, it is because we are trying to use the resources we have available. Let's not indulge our children, our listeners. Let's make our children know that this is what is going on, so that they are not, you know, they are not shocked suddenly and they are wondering. But when you carry the children along, then they will understand when certain things have to go off the table, because that's reality. We are not raising, we don't want to raise children that, you know, it's like we have caged them in the house, and when they come out, they don't really understand what's going on. Thank you for those tips, Wise Doing. And now to Wise Bookie, the homemaker that told us about who we really are. So there is this part of marriage as wives that we struggle with a lot. I have found out that it does not know age, even in marriage, sorry to say. And it has to do with our intimacy. How can you encourage that listener, that woman that is struggling, saying that, you know, yes, I have a husband. Yes, you know, we wear anko, according to the Yorubas. We wear the uniform, but we are not connecting. How can you help us face the challenges of intimacy as a wife? Wise Bookie. Thank you.
Well, I think that intimacy issues are issues that, you know, we need to talk about. And Zainab did tell us how we can effectively communicate with our spouses. I think that many of us come from a notion where we think that being intimate is, you know, when we talk about it, it's a kind of, it kind of gives off a bad girl vibes. So we try to avoid the issues of saying how we actually feel, how we want to be touched, how we want to be loved. But we must understand that God is the author of this thing. Whatever you have seen, or whatever you are, you know, whatever you see that they try to portray in maybe movies or we see outside, is outside jurisdiction. So first of all, when we understand that intimacy was made for us to be enjoyed by God, He's the author of it all, we must, you know, look at it from that perspective. Then secondly, we must not be afraid to communicate how we feel with our spouses. We must let them know that, look, this is how I want us to be intimate. You know, talk about it. Scripture says that Adam and his wife were naked and they were not ashamed. That meant they were able to tell themselves exactly how it was without any fear and without any shame. You know, so whatever the issues are, we must communicate and let our spouses know that this is how we want to be intimate. This is, you know, sometimes we just shut down, especially for women. We've had a hard day. The guy comes home, he wants to touch and he wants to be intimate, and we just want to sleep. We need to communicate these things. You know, we let them that I've had a long day. Can you allow me to rest? Maybe later we can we can be intimate. But many times we just hold back on how we feel. We expect that our spouses will be able to read our mind. We expect that without verbally communicating what we like, they should know. We assume they should understand that today was a hard day. Now, why are you coming back and you are trying to touch me? I've been with kids since. They won't understand all of these things until we verbally communicate. So we must cultivate the, I think it still takes us back to communication. We must be able to communicate how we feel. If we don't, we can't assume that the other person must understand how we feel when they are not the Holy Spirit. So we should learn to speak out, you know, and let our spouses know what we want. And that is what will build our relationships in the long run. Many times we just suffer in silence. We keep quiet and we assume. But if we have a heart-to-heart talk with our spouses, believing that, you know, the Holy Spirit will communicate effectively whatever we are trying to say to them or whatever they are trying to say to us. So it still boils down to communication, being open, being, you know, unashamed, being, what is that word now? Vulnerable. Let us not, you know, decide that this one I will just be managing it like this and be going. We can enjoy marriage. God created intimacy for us to enjoy. Marriage is made for us to have a beautiful experience, not for us to endure and just say, okay, I'm in this thing, I'm stuck. We can talk about whatever it is that bothers us and trust God that He will help us to resolve those issues.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you. And it reminds me of an episode I had some time ago, not too long ago, about on intimacy in marriage. And one thing that Wise Bookie kept hammering on is talk about it. We live in a culture, or we grew up in that culture of don't talk, just keep quiet. I tell you, till date, some of our mothers, they still say, don't talk, just be managing the marriage. Just be managing it. Please, we need to speak up. We need to speak out. We need to communicate with our spouse. Yes, it might not be something we are used to, but we need to. You know why? If we don't stop that pattern, our children are going to follow that. So it will now look like that is how it's supposed to be. No, in our intimacy, we need to open up and tell our spouses how we are feeling. Yes, we might not, you know, meet up their expectations, but it doesn't stop us from communicating. And I think one thing that has helped me personally is preparing my mind ahead of time. So one thing that I know many men, you know, oh well, let me not say many, but I know that one thing they say is every time the woman says she's tired, every time the woman says she's exhausted. So I have found out that when we are intentional, when I am intentional, so I prepare my mind for my husband. I prepare myself and say, oh, today I'm not going to overwork myself so that I will not be tired. It's as practical as that. So you see that most times I might say, oh, today I don't want to do this particular cooking from morning till night. And then by evening, I am already dozing off and, you know, especially when we have observed that it is happening over and over again, because we unconsciously push our spouses away and there's no how we can build intimacy. So communicate, and even when you are not feeling too well or whatever, communicate and tell your spouse, and in due time you will get to find the rhythm or how you can adjust yourself and enjoy and not endure your marriage. Thank you so much for sharing those wise tips on how to handle challenges as a wife. Now we go into the second part of our conversation about handling challenges as a mother. So, interestingly, all my guests on this show are over a decade in marriage, as in they are over 10 years in marriage. Interestingly, one of us will be hitting 2 decades, you can imagine. So we have great experiences here as mothers. And my next question goes to Zainab. Yes, Zainab, how would you encourage a mother that is struggling with a 5-year-old and a newborn? You know, it's a lot of work, especially at that early stage of handling babies through that toddler stage of being a mother. So can you share about 3 tips that could help a new mom or someone that is struggling with having more than a baby at home? You know, how can you help them with your own personal experience or tips?
Okay, so coincidentally, the gap between my first and my second is 4 years. So when I had my first daughter, you know, she had this space with us 4 years after I got pregnant. And the one thing that I did try my absolute best to do was to not neglect my first daughter. Now, when I say neglect, it's something that is never done intentionally. We never intentionally neglect our children. But because of the pregnancy, the carrying and all that, we tend to forget. And I use the word forget loosely, right? So one thing that I did was at every milestone in the pregnancy, I tried to get her involved, right? Like, oh, see, your sister is kicking here. Oh, this person's kicking here. Do you want to sing to your sister? She can hear you. You know, that kind of thing. That's before she was born. Now, after my second daughter was born, I told my husband to have my first daughter bring something for her at the hospital. Let her choose whatever it is she wants so that she feels part of the celebration and part of the process, right? So when my second daughter was born, my first daughter came in with a tiny baby comb. I said, okay, just comb her hair gently, be part of the grooming. So in taking care of the baby, I tried my absolute best to have her involved. So even if it's to say, oh, pass me a diaper, or give me the pack of wipes, or would you like to rub your sister's foot? So what I was saying was that when there's that kind of age gap for the mom herself in communicating with the child, you have to she has to create time for her 5-year-old, create time for the newborn, right? And then also create time where they're together without her feeling overwhelmed, because the main person here is the mother. If at any point in time she feels a little like, no, you know what, I can't do this, then say so. I you would tell my husband then, like, look, I can't do this right now. I need to sit, I need to rest, you know, so that you as the mother too, you are energized enough to cater to your children, right? Because at that age they are still not independent. You understand, they still need assistance, they still need their mommy. So Mommy too has to take care of herself and be in the right mental state. So she has to ensure she's not overexerted. She has to make sure she's not upset about things around her. She has to make sure that her environment is one that she's able to control and still have the same mindset around her. When all those things are in place, the things that make the mom function properly, she would be able to balance out and communicate with her children. When the five-year-old is watching cartoon, bring the little one inside. Oh, sing, you play, you do all these things together. Bring the five-year-old into the care you're giving the little one, and then they grow together and everything will be all right by God's grace.
Thank you. So, wisdom tips on navigating. We should carry everyone along. And I like the part where Zainab said she had to also let her husband know what she can handle, because it's a handful, as in you are struggling with the older one, not to feel left out, because many times it happens like that. So the older child feels, oh, everybody's attention is on the new baby or the younger one, nobody loves me. So you have to find that balance to make sure that everyone gets their time. And also mom too, any new mom or young mom listening, you need time for yourself. So please, when you get help, accept help so that you can rest and not burn out. Thank you so much, Zainab, for your contribution. So the next question I want to ask has to do with handling teenagers. And I would like Buki to take this, because she's she's our senior in this group here today. And she has more experience about handling teenagers. So as a mom that has teenagers, how can you help our listeners understand how to inculcate, you know, the value of responsibility into our teenagers, knowing the very unique stage the teenage life is? So there are people, this group of children are people that they already feel they are adults. My mom doesn't need to tell me anything. But we find out that they also don't want to, if possible, they want to escape responsibilities of getting involved in chores back at home. How can you help that mom that is struggling with her teenagers, you know, to help them inculcate and grow into responsible young people? Thank you, Buki.
Okay, I think that we must, first of all, develop a relationship with these children even before they become teens. So while they are still in their preteens and when they can communicate, honestly, if your children feel that they can come to you, they can talk to you, you make yourself accessible to them, it is easier for you to be able to handle them when they become teens. So we must develop a relationship that makes them comfortable. Many of us want to place demands on them when we have not been there in their lives, where we don't have a relationship with them. So it's just, I provide for you, I take you to the hospital. But it goes beyond that. I think every parent should be able to be the safe space for their children, where your children can come, they can talk to you. So if you have established that as they grow, when they become teenagers, they are very, you know, teenage life comes with a lot of things. They are under pressure from school. There are times I pick my kids up, they don't want to talk. So you just need to be able to understand the phases. You know that at that point, if you try to push a conversation, nothing will come forth. So just allow them to, you know, keep quiet. You go, there are times when they wake up, they are just moody, you know?
You can say that again, Buki.
House before you go out, you are responsible for this, and that. Look, you'll soon be going to university, you need as they enter into their teen years, they just begin to see that the things you are saying is for their good, and they are able to, you know, just follow through.
Okay, so Buki is telling us that we need to develop a relationship with our children, long before they even turn teenagers, when you already have that relationship and conversation with them, then you find out that getting to the teenage age, which is a very delicate and it's a dicey time. So when she talked about they don't want to have conversations with you, I said, you can say that again, because I know as my son was tilting to this teenage time, you just suddenly see him quiet. What is it? What's the problem? He will say nothing. I just found out that there's nothing. There is nothing about it. And interestingly, I have also found out that it's very, very common even with the male teenagers. So it's like they want their space, give them space or room, you know, just give them time and they will come back to you, especially if you know that that relationship is there. So they have pressure, even their body development changes, the hormones, you know, and everything. They themselves, they don't understand themselves. So I think one thing I know that can help mothers in dealing with their teenagers is patience, understanding, and knowing how to talk with them so that we don't lose them to the wrong association or the wrong group. Okay, so we move to Doi. Doi, there's this constant struggle of moms not feeling that they are good enough, you know, the constant good enough struggle. And sometimes we might say, am I good enough as a mom? Am I really doing as much as I ought to? And we sometimes unconsciously compare ourselves with the next person that is also in the same, you know, in the same mold like us. How do you handle such struggle, Doi? How do you handle not comparing yourself and not feeling guilty that you are not good enough or measuring up with standards that people have created? Because I don't see it as you really, you are trying to meet up. So how have you been able to handle such struggle or such mindset, Doi?
Okay, thank you. All right, so the constant phrase, not good enough, is something that almost everybody has at different times in their life. So yeah. I will not sit here and say that I've never had that. No, it's not true. So every person, a man, woman, boy, girl, everybody has that challenge. You know, when you see somebody doing something better than you, you know, you just have that feeling that, oh, maybe I'm not good enough and all of that. So for me personally, I know that I have work. You understand? And I am worth something. So at that state, that initial time, it pushes me to think, it could just be a wake-up call. There's something I'm not doing well. Is there something I'm supposed to do? Is there something, a knowledge I'm supposed to add to myself? You understand? So I don't discard it. I don't discard that thought. I don't discuss. Personally, I know I'm a very contented person. So when I start having that, when I start to have such feelings, I just look inward again. Is there something that I'm supposed to do? For instance, I am a baker. And I was telling somebody recently that I've left the WhatsApp group of being a perfectionist. I like to do things very fine. There's some pictures, some of my fake pictures that I don't get to post because I feel that they are not good enough for my space, for who I am or for what I want to. But recently, I just looked at it that I'm the one judging myself. You understand? Yeah. And some other people look at it, I'm like, wow, this is wow. And so there's a thin line between wanting to be perfect, you understand, wanting to be perfect, and I mean, that success and there's just a thin line, you understand? So I have to talk to myself, you understand, that these things that I feel that I am not even, I am not doing well enough, I'm probably hindering some other people who need knowledge, who need this thing at this stage in their life. There's some stories that if I share, I might also bless somebody. I mean, look at it like, what if I'm not saying it well? What if I'm not okay? So before the post, the podcast today, I saw somebody share his story on his status, and his story looked like mine. And I said to him, "Wow, I'm so impressed, and I hope that one day I'm going to be able to share my own story, because your story blessed me, it resonated with me, and it looked like mine. But you were bold enough to share your story. I have not been bold enough. So I look at it that." I am also debarring somebody from getting that to that stage. I feel that I'm not enough. I'm not. Somebody needs to hear that. Okay, recently I conducted a training for somebody, And so she's been having jobs. And so yesterday she sent me a text message appreciating me for the kind of training I gave her, that she's been getting jobs upon jobs and this and that. I'm like, in my mind, oh, really? And again, okay, repeat it again. I'm going for another training next week. So at that point, when I feel that, okay, I am not good enough. But that thing, if I did not teach that woman that thing that I know, then I don't know if she would have been able to say that thing. So at every point in our life, we should celebrate whatever feats that we have achieved. And if God is impressing it in our heart to share with people, irrespective of what you still have in mind, then share it. It doesn't stop us from aspiring higher. It doesn't stop us. So every one of us have this kind of feeling sometimes, I'm not good enough. Just look within yourself. Are there things they are supposed to be doing? Are there more things supposed to be doing? Do you understand? Are you sure you are not comparing yourself in another negative life with somebody else? Are you sure you are not being oppressed by somebody else? Just look, because personally, I am not. I'm a very contented person. So when those feelings comes, I know, okay, there must be more that I'm supposed to be. But in this state, that when somebody is calling for me to share the little that I know, I will share, and I have. But it still does not stop me from aspiring to learn more. So everyone goes through that phase of I am not enough. But it's what you do with that feeling after that matters. Do you allow it just sit with you and you wait and complain and grumble and spoils your mood and robs you of who you are, what you have achieved in the past? Or do you look at it in a way that, okay, is there a need for improvement? Is there a need for me to add more to myself? Well, it depends on how you look at it. Those phases in our life come. But what we do with that faith is what is important. Thank you.
Wow, wow, wow. The struggle of, am I good enough? Interestingly, do you know, the grass is not greener on the other side. So let me just say that, do you know that moms that go to work, as in the career moms, do you know that they look at that stay-at-home moms and be wishing that, that this stay-at-home mom, she really, especially if we are those of them that are being intentional, say, I wish I had time for my children. The way this woman, look at her, she's there for their programs, she's there to do this, the children are always looking well kept. And then the stay-at-home mom is wishing that she wore her suit and got into one car, entered one board meeting. Can you see that the grass is not greener on any side? The grass is greener on the parts that you pay attention to. And interestingly, we have said it on this show before, or this platform, that you are enough. You are enough where you are. Not because we don't want you to aspire, like Doyin has said, we are not mediocres. No, that's not what we are saying. As you desire to be better, as you desire to improve on yourself, why don't you enjoy your journey where you are and be a blessing to those that come across you, those that are passing by? Like, I don't know how many years after now, people will listen to this particular episode and say, I got from this episode that, okay, the struggling of communicating with my teenager is not strange. Maybe I need to be more patient. So please, let's not allow those thoughts to make us feel like we are not adding value. And even if you feel you are not adding enough value, it's a time to step up our game, to improve ourselves, so that we can continue on our journey. Thank you. So as we gradually round off today's show, I want to say that it is seen, studies have shown, that stay-at-home moms are prone to depression, anxiety, and physical health problems. I would like each of you, beginning with Buki, can you give us one self-care tip, either nutrition or exercise or what? What will you say to that stay-at-home mom that is already in depression or is almost going like, I'm not enjoying my journey? What will you say, a self-care tip you can share with us on this issue of managing our well-being?
Well, I think first of all, you must understand that it is not it's something that will pass. There are seasons in our lives. Sometimes we are in a season that we don't understand, or we may not be enjoying. It doesn't mean that it will not pass. There will be other times when your children will be grown,
you would be, you know, go around to see them. You'll even be the one to say, Kai, no, I'm not coming today. I want to just rest, you know. So just put that at the back of your mind that seasons change, things change. Your situation is not permanent if you are not enjoying where you are now. As you look forward to greater things coming your way, you must position yourself rightly. So one of the things you can do is to keep a positive attitude because of your, you know, your that positivity also rubs off on your children. I see women that have small children that are just, you know, they stay with them, and you know how taking care of little kids can be. It can be a lot, especially if you don't have anybody helping you to clean, to cook, and you are doing everything. You are taking the child 24/7. Lean on other people. Lean on people around you. God always puts people around us to help us. So you can have a friend that, you know, you can drop your kids with from time to time, or a let them go on play date so that you can just have your space. You can do other things, involve yourself in other activities. One Saturday, go out with a group of friends, just gist and ease off some of the tension. But know that these things don't last forever. Look, I'm a mother that has 3 kids now, the last being 10. And, you know, there are times that you look back when they are younger and you wish that, wow, you spent more time in those phases, but they are already past. So understand that phases will pass. Enjoy the phase you are in. It may not be the best of the phase, but enjoy it, knowing that before you, you know, you say Jack Robinson, they are already wearing their graduation gown. They are packing their load, and you are just looking at yourself and thinking about, okay, so why was I so, you know, into this phase? Things will pass. So keep a positive outlook. Have friends. Have people that you can lean onto when things are becoming overbearing, that you can talk to. You can go out and just spend some time with, and just be positive about life. That is my.
Bukki is saying that in addition to being positive in your attitudes, she kept saying that one. She said, go out, you know, and that's one thing about these wise homemakers. They always they go to each other's houses, so they visit themselves, and when they go that day, they are not even talking, they are just trying to ease off that pressure, you know. Try to, and at the end of the day, as they are going home, they are feeling lighter. They are feeling, oh, so I'm not the only one going through this and everything like that. So please don't stay locked up and allow depression. Please, it's not healthy for you. Doing, what is one self-care tip you can give to us, particularly about our health as stay-at-home moms? Because I know at a certain time when my children were very small, I was almost every time, before you know what, I'm down, I'm falling sick. You know, that I'm not having enough rest. What will you say to that woman that is always falling sick? How does she manage that so that it doesn't continue like that, because it's not the best for her?
Okay. All right, so for me, I will say that one of the reasons why you decided to be a stay-at-home mom is because of these children. And you wouldn't want to, later in life, not be available for them. And so I want us to do everything we can do, humanly possible, to stay alive and stay healthy for them. So one of the things that I've learned to do recently, and is really working for me, is because I really want to keep in shape, you know. I know that my body is no longer, is not the same way again. I'm going to be 40 in a few months, and my body is no longer the same way again. I cannot do as much as I used. I cannot continue like this, otherwise at the tail end, when the children will now need me again, I want to also be available for them. So one of the tips I can share with our listeners is intermittent fasting. Yes.
Okay.
I start my meal these days. I mean, I start my the first meal I have is between 12 and 2 every day in the last 3 weeks, and after I've seen improvement. And I learned another thing about cardio. Cardio is good, but it's not that thing that will make you lose weight. For people who really want to lose weight, it's not cardio that will make you lose weight. So if you want to actually do your cardio, it should be the first 2 hours after you wake up in the morning. You can take a walk, but it's muscle training, like muscle training that will really help you to keep in shape, because you need all of those muscles when you grow older. Because you don't want to be 55 and you're not able to walk and able to carry things again. You understand? Of course, you're not asking to carry, but move around, be able to carry yourself, be able to carry your grandchildren. So it's good to move around. Cardio is also good, but we should be careful, we should be conscious of what we eat. You understand? Very, very, at this stage, I just advise that we reduce our sugar intake to the barest minimum. Our sugar intake today, we should reduce our sugar intake. So, summarily, for me, health is, I'm very conscious about my health now. What I put in my mouth, intermittent fasting for me, I take a walk and I try and do cardio. So, exercise for me, it is, and I'm very conscious of sugar. And again, of course, we are approaching menopause in the next 5 years. My hormones are going to be starting to change. So I have to start to prepare for those things mentally, emotionally, and all of those. Because I want to also keep in shape, you know, for my spouse to enjoy me, for me to enjoy my old age, and for my children to also enjoy my old age is very important. And of course, the Bible says that my body is a temple of God. You know, the temple of God has to be agile, to be able to do that thing that God has asked me to do to the end. Then I must treat my body very well now. So thank you.
Thank you for that exercise tip on keeping in shape. Doing said we should watch what we eat. Intermittent fasting is helping her, and the movements, our movements of our body is very, very critical. Okay, so as we are about to end today's show, I'd like you to just make our viewers see that, yes, we talked about handling challenges, you know, as a wife and as a mother. Just give us from your biblical perspective for us to see what God had in mind when he called us to be wonderful spouses or helpmates and to be intentional mothers. What can you say are two or three things that you can share with our listeners to balance what we have talked about, so that they don't feel that being a married person is a burden, being a mother is, you know, is not something to look forward to. As we say thank you and end our show for today, starting with you, Bookie, sorry, your parting words, seeing the positives in being married and being a mother.
Well, I think that being married and being a mother is a very beautiful thing. It's an experience that every woman should have. I mean, God created it for us to form partnerships with people that will encourage us in our journey, you know, on earth, and make us better individuals. God created it so that we could have children, that we can, you know, pattern after his image and likeness. So it's a privilege, it's an honor, it's a beautiful thing to be involved with other people and, you know, just enjoy this life that God has given us. Yeah.
Thank you. So, Doyle, what would be your parting words to that? Maybe a single lady that just stumbled on today's episode. You know, what can you tell her beyond how to navigate the challenges, the beauty in being part of God's agenda of that family life, being a wife and a mother? Your parting words.
Okay, so I will tell anyone listening, especially those ones that about to get married and have the lot of information flying about, you know, some people just feel like, well, I don't need a family, I can just do something and just get a child, you know, I don't need a man, you know. God has actually, if you say you don't, that's not, first, that's not how you were raised. A lot of things that were wrong, probably in how we were raised. A lot of things are wrong in the society, but there are still some beautiful homes. The Bible says that one shall chase 1,000, and two will put 10,000 to flight. So for those ones that are considering, that are saying that they don't probably need a man, they are going to be losing out on that geometric progression. Two will put 10,000 to flight. So we need ourselves. We need a man. We need the family. You know. So. Have a change of mind, pray. There are good homes out there. There are still people that we can look up to, as we even look up to God. You know, there are going to be challenges in marriage, no doubt, but we should be prepared and God will help us. You can also check the life of the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31 from verse chapter 9, verse 10 to 31. It's very instructive. The life of a virtuous woman. She's just not there for herself. She's there for her family. She's industrious. Her children look at her and call her blessed. So there are beautiful homes. You cannot do it alone. If God blesses you with a man, maximize the opportunity. And I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for being on At Home with Ifeanyi, the Wise Homemakers. Thank you for sharing, for being vulnerable and, you know, sharing your experiences. Many people would not be willing to do what you have done, and we don't take your contribution for granted. And we look forward to another episode with you, hopefully maybe next year again. Thank you. And God bless everything that has to do with you, your home, and the work of your hands. Thank you, and looking forward to more of you again.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us this week on At Home with Ifeanyi. Check us out on Instagram at Ifeanyi17. As always, subscribe to the show to catch every new episode and leave us a review so we can continue to bring you fresh content. See you next in 2 weeks' time.